Lord, everyone. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Amen, amen. It's our privilege to be with you today. Appreciate the spirit that we feel in this place. God is so very good. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. I enjoy the people of the Lord. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing today and will continue to do throughout this day. Preaching in the service, in my mind today, is not the end of the service. It's part of the continuum that brings us to prayer. It's part of the progress, in my mind, our prayer, our response to the service, to God's Spirit, His Word, brings the culmination of a service in the house of the Lord. And so I'll remind you today that when I'm done preaching, we're going to have an opportunity to pray. And for some, that will mean praying right where you're at. For others, that'll mean making their way down these aisles, around the altar, to seek the Lord. And I invite you to do that. Don't leave this place without opening up your heart to the Lord in prayer, reaching out to Him, magnifying His precious name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. And we'll begin reading at verse number 15. Driving to church this morning, I always hear the chatter of my daughters saying one thing or another. And when I'm getting ready to preach, I like, you know, positive, uplifting things. Help us to be confident in the Lord. The youngest daughter, Haley, up and spouts off, "Dad, I'm really glad you got your hair cut real short." And before I could say why, she says, "Because I was looking at your picture last night, and you was real ugly before." You know, based on those positive comments, I'm feeling like preaching today. Yes, sir. Feeling very confident, excited, and encouraged. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Williford said, "Out of the mouth of babes." Hallelujah. Well, enjoy the house of the Lord, people of God. Amen. Matthew 14, look at verse 15. "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give ye them eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." Based on this familiar portion of Scripture and oft preached on miracle, I would like to share with you in the thought today, get good seats. Get good seats. I'd like for you now to put your Bibles down, close them, and let's join together in prayer one more time. Precious, wonderful Savior, so thankful today, Lord, for your people. Thankful, Lord, for everyone that is here. We need you today, Lord. We need you to move in this place. Help our words, Lord, to be challenged through your Scripture, anointed by your Spirit, work in our lives and hearts. Allow us, God, to be different people when we bless because of a visitation of your power and Spirit among us. We claim it, Lord, by the power and the name that's above every name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can the church say amen? Before you're seated, turn to someone near and say, "Do I need a mint?" Hallelujah. Well, you know, it's still morning. I thought that might be appropriate. Get good seats. Get good seats. This past summer, you'll recall all of the editorials and radio talk concerning the potential and eventual demolition of the arena. I've not been raised in this area, transferred just a couple years ago, and so I didn't have any of those said emotional ties to that building that had housed sporting events, the arena. So I listened on talk shows to the arguments of should they destroy it, should it be demolished, or should it be that they would convert it into something else and use monies to convert that building. And then one day I'm listening on the radio and they say, well, it's gone through, it's going to be destroyed, and this is the date and this is the time that they will destroy the arena. It's going to be imploded. And I heard that and I thought, man, I want to see that. You know, the little kid came out of me. Let's see something blown up. That's what I want to watch. And so we made our way. I said to my wife and girls, hey, you want to see something blown up? And they looked at me. My wife said, are you serious? You know, you really want to see that? Said, yeah, all my life I've seen pictures and clips and things of where a building was blown up. This is going to be cool. And so we made our way down. They told what time it was going to blow it up, you know, and get there early. So we left an hour and a half ahead of time, and about an hour prior, we get down to the Forest Park area, and traffic is backed up. We get off then at an early exit, and I'm still living by a map in the city. I'm trying to figure out roads, and we're curving around, and we make it into Forest Park. And, you know, evidently there are thousands of other individuals who also thought, this is going to be cool. And so there we go. We get into the crowd and the mass and the press of people, and we make our way through Forest Park area there. And, you know, it had rained, and it had been nasty. It was all muddy. And so we're walking along. You're not just making your way through the crowd. You're going like this, you know, doing this kind of thing. Walking, whoa, whoa, and I'm holding the girls' hands. You know, they're falling. We're all doing this business. And my wife's complaining, you know. It's muddy out here. Yeah, it's muddy. So come on, it's going to be cool. Yeah, it's getting my shoes muddy. Going to ruin my black shoes. Mr. Compassionate here. Well, you only got another dozen pair of black shoes in your closet. Don't worry about it. Things are going to work out okay. Yeah. I saw a couple husbands wanting to take a lap there. Relax, guys, all right? Going to be okay. Yeah, Mr. Compassionate here. I really felt for him. So we're on our way through the mud. We're traipsing along. Got the kids trying to make our way there, and you can see the building in the distance. And man, we are on the east side of the building. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. That's right. I got that. Sun is setting by that time. So the sun is going down on the other side of the arena. And we can't get that far up there. So we're getting as close as we can. We're holding, got sunglasses, got this kind of thing going. And we get right up to the fence on the north side of Highway 40 there. And we press our way to the front. We're pushing through the front, breaking our way. And there's a lady there, a real nice lady. She realized we have some younger children with her. She said, listen, when the time gets near, I'll move away from the fence here. You can get right up to the fence and see the whole thing happening. And so as it got closer, sure enough, they gave off the warning shots that they were going to explode the building. And when they did that, I put one of the girls on my shoulders and helped the other one climb up the fence a little bit. And we got as close as we could get, and in 5 seconds' time, just a rapid explosions, and man, it think nothing but a cloud of smoke. It caved in on itself. Man, that was cool. I'd never seen anything like that. I don't know if I'll ever see anything like that again. And you know, it's part of history and enriching my daughter's character. You know, now they've seen a building blown up. It's powerful. It'll help them get a better job someday. I want them to see that and to know about that. But we had to get good seats. It was a pain. Getting good seats was a chore. Getting close was inconvenient. Going early was a pain. We had to get dirty. It was a struggle. But it was so worth it. Being close paid off. We were able to witness something that we might not have ever been able to see again because we had good seats. We saw exactly everything that happened. And I could share with you that story because we had good seats. A while back, my wife found out that the Phantom of the Opera is going to be playing here in St. Louis. It's a staged play. It's a musical. I had never had any desire to see the Phantom of the Opera. So my wife had heard about this for some time. Former employer of hers used to go often with clients to Toronto and see the production there. And she heard it was going to be in St. Louis. She wanted to go. And so I said, all right, we'll try to do what we can do. And I did some investigating, looking into seeing the Phantom of the Opera. And so I called Ticketmaster. You know what I'm talking about. Ticketmaster handles all the tickets because they want to charge lots of money. So I called Ticketmaster. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And a friend had told me definitively, clearly, if you're going to go, get good seats. If you're going to go to this thing, it's important that you get good seats. So I called Ticketmaster. I said, yeah, Phantom of the Opera. Yeah. What nights are available? Okay, I think Tuesday. Let's try that. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen, I want good seats. Good seats, yes, sir. I heard that good seats are what we need. How much? For one ticket? Man. So I'm thinking there, I'm listening. You know, my wife wants to go. I don't care about going. My wife wants to go. It'd be good to make her happy, but it costs me a lot of money. So I say, how about average seats? How much for average seats can I get there? Just kind of decent seats. What do we got there? So Mr. Cheapskate here buys, you know, the mid-level seats. They're in the second balcony. This was not good. We couldn't understand one word. Not one line. Within 10 minutes, my wife is pretty upset. She keeps saying, I can't hear a thing. And I keep saying, well, be quiet. You're talking the whole time. That's why we can't hear anything here. But I cannot hear a word they're saying. So no, you just pay attention. It'll get better, you know. And I didn't even know it was a musical, you know. They're singing the whole time. I'm thinking they'll stop and speak clearly. Man. Within 10 minutes, here's the way my wife is. Does this term mean anything to you? Postal. Man, that's about how she's feeling right then. She is very upset. Couldn't understand the lines, couldn't understand the lyrics, nothing. And to top it all off, at intermission, we go downstairs, we're walking around, and we go into the guy, the friend of mine that recommended that we get good seats, run into him and his family. They just go on and on about how well they can hear and how it's so interesting. Isn't this a great story? Yada, 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 yada. We can't hear anything. Postal returns. You know, I should have gotten good seats. You know, but getting good seats cost more. Getting good seats required an investment. Yet if I'd invested more, I could have enjoyed the entire production. I could have heard every line. I could have hit every lyric. But instead, I thought I would be happy by just being at mid-level. If I just be just sort of close. Not in the back, but not willing to make the investment for good seats either. And you know, in reality, I recognize that a lesser investment was really like no investment at all. Because the money I spent at being on the second balcony was totally lost because I couldn't hear a thing. I wasn't willing to make the additional sacrifice to get the best. And because of that, I was dissatisfied and disappointed with where I was at. Because getting good seats requires an additional investment. Good seats. Good seats. Because if you're too far away, you miss things. And if you're too far away, you can't hear everything that's going on. And if you're too far away, you can't see everything that is happening. In the text we read in Matthew, Scripture tells us that there were 5,000 men that were gathered to hear Jesus teach. And that last phrase in verse 21 says, beside women and children. And scholars recognize that indeed 5,000 is just the men. And when you add the women and children, you're talking about quite a crowd. How many have ever been in a crowd of 10,000 or so? You've been in a crowd that large? You know, you get in a crowd of people like that, you can't even recognize folks at the other end of the crowd. You see a lot of those little mini binoculars coming out. People are trying to look and see and trying to get involved with what's going on. And I realized that in the crowd that day, that there were those that were part of that whole situation. That there were those who, they were in a big crowd like that, they couldn't hear or see all that was going on. Here, let me show you what I'm talking about. I need the first couple of guys on each of these rows here. Come here. Yeah. Good. Come here. Stand around me in a semicircle here. Face me. I know it's tough to do. Do it anyway. Come here. Close. All right? Good. That's it. Great. How you doing? Doing good? Excellent. Brother Rick, how you doing back there? Good. Hey, did you hear what I just told these guys? Huh? Can you see what's going on? You can see what's going on? You see me, a lucky individual. Huh? About halfway, Sister John, can you hear what I talk to these guys about? No? Can you see what they're doing? No. Brother Clem, how about you? Can you hear what I told these guys, what we talked about? No. Isn't that something? Fellas, do you have an idea about what's going on? You know what's happening? You know what I said? You know how it went? Everything is okay. Thank you. You can be seated. Give these guys a hand. Here's what I realized. That in that crowd that day of thousands of people, that there were people sitting there that got their bread and their fish and never realized what went down that day. There were people that got a plate full of food, had their appetites filled, and didn't have a clue of how that whole thing came about. They sat there and they received the blessing, but they never saw the miracle. They received the filling, but they never saw the creative power of Jesus Christ at work. So I'm thinking about that. Wow. But who did see what was happening? The disciples. How come the disciples saw what was happening? They had good seats, didn't they? They were close, weren't they? They knew exactly what was going on because they had good seats. You know what I'm thinking about this? Not all the disciples were the same. You know, I think they're on the faith continuum, on the line from best to worst. You know, we think about Thomas, doubting Thomas. You know, he was the man of the least faith in the bunch. And you think about Peter or John, great faith, great men of God, men who did great works, you know, where Peter would be a 10 in faith and Thomas would be a 1 in faith. On that continuum, I don't think I personally would fit anywhere on there. I'd probably be somewhere in the middle of that bunch. You know, it's got to be one of those guys that was a realist, somewhere in the middle of that bunch. A good guy, wanted to believe, but not quite, you know, Peter the preaching rock, but not the doubting Thomas either. Maybe Andrew, maybe Philip, maybe Bartholomew, something like that. I don't know. You know, but one of those guys is somewhere in the middle. I think that's the way I would have been. And you don't think about that. Jesus said, let's feed him. And they said, we don't have anything. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, you heard me, let's feed him. At that point in time, Thomas sat down. Well, y'all hand it out because you're going to run out before you need me, you know. I'm sitting down. Peter is at the front of the line. Come on, man, serve it out. Let's take it to these guys. Me, I'd have been in the middle of a pack somewhere. There's part of me that said, man, we start feeding this bunch, sure hope we can finish. Part of me saying, I've trusted the Lord. I've seen Him do good things. I've watched Him work and I know that he's not a lunatic. I know that he's not insane. But man, I just don't know how this is all going to play out. And so that part would be going on. And so I could see, think about it. One of those guys in line. They're part of the group. Jesus starts breaking the bread. Guy makes it up and he gets his basket full. I'd be going out the first time to hand out then some food. And the first time it'd be like appetizers, hors d'oeuvres. Here you go, just a little snack right now, okay? A little taste for you there, a little piece of fish there, a little piece of bread there. Don't want to take too much now, you know how it is. Apostolics are watching our weight. I just take care of these things right here, and we'll just do that just a little bit for you. That's the way I'd hand it out. And you know what? When I got to the end of my bowl, I would turn around, and I would not be running back to Jesus, because in my mind, it's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm like, what's the hurry? You know he's run out by now. And so I start strolling back, and I realize there's still some guys gathered around Jesus. I look out, and there's a couple other guys still handing things out. Oh, I didn't know about that. and get back in line? Huh. Just working on the third roll. Huh. A little bit of bounce in my step now. Hey, a little bit for you. How you been, man? Good to see you. All right. That's some food there. How you doing? How you doing? I empty that bowl out and I turn around. Guys are still in line. Things have changed now. Fill her up, boss! Throwing out food big time. Why? Because it set in what was going on in their head. Because all of a sudden they realized there's a miracle going on. God is creating in his very hands food to feed the thousands. Right in front of my eyes, a powerful miracle has taken place. How did I get to see it? How did I get to know? Because I had good seats. Because I was sitting close. Because I was right near to the Master. Because I was right in the vicinity of the great Creator, the great I Am. I could see him work. Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So an attitude. As an average individual, my attitude might have been uncertainty. My attitude might have been, how in the world is this going to take place? But now it goes to an incredible and wild excitement because I realize the power of God, because I've been close to Jesus, because I've had some good seats. Think about those apostles, those disciples. You know what else those guys did? Those guys wrote the Gospels. Disciples responsible for writing Scripture. You know what, Brother Dawn? How did they know all that stuff? They had good seats. How were they able to remember all that stuff? They had good seats. They were close to the action. In fact, I read like this, that they weren't even telling us everything. For the end of the book of John says there were also many other things that Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. I'm telling you this, that the Gospels are merely a highlight film of the works of Jesus. It's a Reader's Digest, condensed version. It's the cliff notes of His mighty works. I'm telling you that there are so many incredible things that Jesus Christ did in their midst. How did they know about them? Because they were close. I believe that there were miracles yet untold. But those disciples knew they were close. There were things that happened. They didn't have time to share. But they knew about every detail because they had good seats. They were near to what was happening. If you want to see good things, get good seats. You want to hear from God? Get good seats. You want to know what's going on in His kingdom? Stay close to the Master. Get close to the Creator. Get closed in on the One who is able to turn water into wine, who's able to raise the dead, who is able to speak blindness into sight, who is able to make the dumb speak and the deaf hear. He is God Almighty. And you want to see some of the things that ain't been written, you got to be close to Him. I think about those disciples. Not only that they were close, but what were they doing when they were close? What were they involved in when they saw this great and profound miracle? What were they doing when they saw the loaves and the fishes multiplied to feed the thousands? Here's what they were doing. They were serving others. They were helping others to be blessed. They were getting involved personally in the kingdom of God. You see, they didn't come that day just to be blessed themselves, but they came that day to be a blessing to someone else. Witnessing one of the most profound creative miracles of Scripture was a result of their serving other people. And while serving and being a blessing, they saw what others never saw. They heard what others had never heard. The disciples, these servants, witnessed a miracle that others, those in the distance, would only assume to be just another free lunch. I'm saying this morning, get good seats. It's time that we start serving in the kingdom of God. You want to see good things? Get in the choir. You want to see good things? Be a Sunday school teacher. You want to see more? Start serving others. Pray around the elders. Help with the youth group. Get involved in the bus ministry. Why do that? Because it's service to the King. And when you're serving, you're being a blessing and seeing the most powerful. How? How do I get close? How can I get in close like that? Sounds good, preacher. I'd sure like to see some cool stuff. How do I get close? Well, let me tell you about the ticket master. Ephesians 2 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Hebrews said it like this, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ." You see, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes way for you and I to get close to Him. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that's provided the means for you and I. His blood has allowed us to enter into the holiest of all. He is the one who provides the tickets for you and I. He's the one that allows us entrance. He is the master, and He can get me in. If there was anyone at any time that could get me close, He's the man. If there was anyone that could give me a ticket when they looked sold out, He's the man. If there was anyone that would offer me an entrance into this great kingdom, He is the one. No price gouging in Him. He's paid the price in full. It's by His own blood that we get close to Him. And because of His sacrifice, we can have good seats. And not just good seats, my friend, but the best seats. We get it all by His death, burial, and resurrection. He allows us entrance into the kingdom of God. James said it like this, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners." Talking about repentance, the message that we heard this morning in class. Talking about asking for forgiveness of sins. Talking about turning your heart and life around. That is provided by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 22, Ananias told Saul this, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He said it very plain. What are you waiting for? Tickets been bought. They're open for free. Come on, grab one and get into the kingdom now. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. It's time to get close to the master. That may be the plan. The Bible also talks about an attitude when we follow the plan. That's the plan. But the 10th scripture also says in Hebrews 10, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Draw near, get close with a true heart. Get close with a faith that is not wavering. James said, "Purify your hearts, you double-minded." I'm telling you this morning that the Scripture says that the Lord desires a true heart from those that would be close to Him. A true heart, a genuine heart, a pure heart, no wavering, only pure and genuine desire. The Hebrews elsewhere says, "And without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The bottom line is this. In order to get close, you got to be real with God. You don't just come up and punch buttons. Okay, repentance. Okay, baptize me. Okay, Lord, let me have the Holy Ghost. No, there's got to be a thumping down inside. There's got to be a true heart. There's got to be a genuine desire. Got to be a motivation that says, "I don't care how many hoops I have to jump through. I got to get close to God. I got to know Him. I desire Him. I want to be near Him. I got to have good seats." Okay, preacher, suppose I follow the plan. Suppose I got to have, or I have the right attitude. What happens next? Then what? Oh, I'm happy to tell you. about his response. For the Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It doesn't say he might. It doesn't say once in a while. It doesn't say if he feels like it. It doesn't say on occasion. It doesn't say if you clap just right. It doesn't say if you jump just right. It doesn't say if your hair sticks just right or you got just the right tie. It says, draw nigh and he will draw nigh unto you. I'm telling you this morning that for every step you take toward him, he is taking a God-sized step toward you. If you make the effort to get close to him, he's ready. He's waiting to get closer to you and I. He's standing on the edge of a precipice, begging that we would draw near to him, because he's wanting to draw closer to you and I. Let's stand right now. Let's thank the Lord. Come on, reach out to him right now. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm talking about a God who is anxious to show his power among men. I'm talking about a God. It's not his desire to keep his miracles a secret. It's not his desire to keep his power hidden. The fact is that the only ones who see it are those that are closest. And I'm talking about a God who's saying, come on in. Will you take a step closer so that I may draw nearer to you? Talking about an anxious God. Talking about a desirous God. Talking about a God who's hoping today that you'll take a step closer to him. I'm talking about a God whose heart, if you will, is pounding with excitement that someone in his building today is going to reach out and take a step toward him so that he can respond. Yeah. Preacher, boy, that could be a challenge. Come on, get good seats. But man, there's some obstacles in my life. Come on, get good seats. That might be inconvenient. Come on, just get some good seats. Well, I might have to struggle and press through a crowd. There might be an investment involved. Come on, get good seats. Think of all that you'll see. Think of the things that you'll hear. Think of the miracles that you'll witness. Because you've gotten a hold of God, drawn closer to him, had some good seats. If you're doubting today, I challenge you to listen to the words of an old hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Have you been disappointed lately? Have you been dissatisfied recently or discouraged? Hear this preacher. It's not a time to turn from God. It's not a time to walk away from God. The answer to your disappointment, your discouragement, is to step closer to the Master. The answer to your problem today is to draw nearer to the great Creator. It's time in our spiritual lives, in our kingdom lives, men justify themselves and say, I may be in the back row of the kingdom, but at least I'm not outside. It's time for a hungry heart to say, I've been in the back row of the kingdom too long. Time for me to move up a few fruits. Human nature of those in kingdom's mill rows say, you know, I used to be in the back row of the kingdom. Man, look what God has done. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Don't lose your thankfulness. But it's about time we open our spiritual eyes to the pews that are before us, to the areas where I haven't been yet, to those areas where I haven't heard from God yet, to see the things that I've yet to see, to hear the things that I didn't know God was saying, to witness the power that I didn't know was going on. Now is the time to get good seats. Today's the day to get close to Jesus. Time to get closer than I've ever been. And you know what? The man with the plan. The ticket master is available today. Great seats still available. Windows of heaven are open. All aisles now open for service. Come on, get in line. Find your place at any of the windows. Draw a little closer to God. Preacher, I've been serving the Lord for 22 years. Hallelujah! How are you going to serve Him for the next 22? Where have you gone that you ain't been yet? Preacher, I've never made an effort to serve God. Hear me this morning. Now's your time. Join some others that are coming to the window. How about joining some others that will walk down an aisle and say, I'm going to make my way to meet the Master. I'm fixing to draw close to the Lord this morning. Come on, this is not a day of tragedy. This is not a day of sadness. It's a day of victory. This is a day of motivation. This is a day of power. Because you and I can enter into the presence of the great God. Come on, reach out to Him today. Reach out to Him today. Will you take a step? Make a move toward God. Make a move toward Him. When you do, He'll make a step toward you. If you'll make the effort to reach out, He's reaching in return. Come on, don't pass up this moment. Don't pass up this day. Don't pass up this time. Reach to the great Creator. Reach out to Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't miss out on what the Lord's doing here today. Don't sit back and say, I got my nibbles of bread and fish. I'm turning the leaves. Hear me, there's more for you today. You don't have to get just a nibble. He's here to fill you to the uttermost. You can leave with your soul overflowing. The God is here. He wants to meet your needs.